If you want to stop obsessing about food and your body so you can get back to actually living your life, then this is the show for you.
Hi, I'm Erin Todd, a writer and intuitive eater.
And I'm Charlie Castle, registered dietitian and exercise physiologist. And we're here to help you discover whole health for your mind, body, and soul. Our goal is to embody scripture, ditch dieting, and live on purpose. In this episode of Intuitive Eating for Christian Women, we're going to explore the fifth principle of intuitive eating, feel your fullness.
Before we begin, let me give a quick disclaimer. This program is for informational and educational purposes only, and it is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Our aim is to introduce you to the principles of intuitive eating and help you to see how those principles align with scripture so you can improve your relationship with food, your body, and God, and cast out dieting for good.
Every time you say that line, I get so excited. Yes!
Me too.
Yes!
Cast it out.
I love it. Okay, so tell us about filling our fullness, Erin.
So, feeling your fullness for me is all about listening to our body while we're eating. So this is one of the principles that I feel like is most dialed into the actual eating experience. And I think it's important to remember that it's so obvious, but God created our bodies and it's a good design. And that's why it's safe to listen to our bodies. There's no need for fear around listening to your body's signals or what your body's telling you. And this principle is going to teach us how we can eat mindfully and pay attention to those body signals, which we're going to call attunement, while we're eating, so that we can tune in to our body and our needs and better sense our fullness. So this is going to be a very practical and food-oriented principle.
Yeah, I really love that you said God designed our bodies and we can trust our bodies. You don't have to be afraid of listening to your body, because I know a lot of the women listening are saying, what? I can't trust my fullness. I can't trust my body. It's not okay to be full, or I always eat past fullness, whatever those things are. And let's just call those out for what they are, lies from the enemy. That's a diet culture lie that we can't trust the way our bodies were designed, that we can't trust hunger and fullness signals. But let me tell you, God designed us with stretch receptors in our stomach that send messages to our brain to tell us when we're full. He designed us with hormones that are excreted when we are full. All of these things that it's good feedback that he gave us as this gift, and we can really trust it. And this principle is so important, because if we have been dieting for a long time or having disordered eating or an eating disorder, we might be really disconnected from these signals, or our body might have even given up sending these signals. And so this principle of feeling your fullness is all about cultivating that attunement again.
Yes. Well, since we're in the beginning here, let me give the official intuitive eating workbook definition for this principle, so it's not just our take on it. It says, listen for the body signals that tell you that you're no longer hungry. Observe the signs that show you you're comfortably full. Pause in the middle of eating and ask yourself how the food tastes and what your current fullness level is. So that's really practical. That's actually some steps we can walk out. And I do want to completely echo what you just said about diet culture really getting in the way and disrupting our signals and creating a lot of distrust around them. So I think it's going to be really fun to root back into God and trusting God for doing this work, for this principle, and really listening. And the hunger and fullness components and principles really do relate to each other. So if you haven't listened to the hunger episode, go back and check that out. and make sure, you know, you're not trying to do this in order. I don't think intuitive eating has to be like a linear process where we have to do one and then we do two and then we do three. I think they all kind of interrelate. And so naturally the hunger and fullness principles really, really interrelate and play into each other. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And depending on where you are in your walk and what your experience is, you know, when I work with clients, sometimes the first place I start is body respect. Sometimes the first place I start is satisfaction. So it, you know, it just depends on where you are. But they are a set of principles for a reason. You can't just take one and run with it. They all come into play together. So you can't just say, I'm going to honor my fullness with and ignore other principles, because other principles give you the ability to honor your fullness.
Yeah. And before we go in a little further into really unpacking what this principle is, I want to do a quick clarification and say what it's not. Mm-hmm. This is not the hunger and fullness diet, which would tell you only eat when you're hungry and stop immediately when you're full. That is not what we're saying here at all. That's a diet. That's a way to turn these principles into a rigid set of rules that are not necessarily in tune with what your body is saying. Yes, we're going to say when we're hungry, we are going to eat. And once we start to feel that fullness, maybe we're stopping. But it's not a black and white kind of thinking thing. And I mean, just I'd like for you to give us an example of an occasion where we might be eating something if we're not hungry. Or we might be eating past a point of comfortable fullness, because it happens. Yeah. It's real life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I always talk about, it's so funny, like when people talk about the healthy choice, a lot of the times they talk about portions or types of foods or whatever, like what's the healthy choice here. But sometimes when we're talking about holistic health, your body, mind, soul, the whole thing, sometimes the healthy choice doesn't look like what our culture would say is the healthy choice. So a great example is if you are not super hungry, but you know you're going to be in a meeting for the next 3 hours that you can't eat, and you know you're going to get hungry in that meeting, then you choose to eat something beforehand so that you don't get to that place of uncomfortable hunger, because nobody likes to be hangry. Right?
Right.
So that's a perfect example of the really healthy, positive choice is to eat in preparation for that instead of letting yourself get extremely hungry in the meeting.
Yeah. Well, that's when eating is really kind of a form of self-care there. And I do that kind of eating to hold me over in a situation where if I know I'm going to have a later lunch, I might have a little bit of a bigger breakfast and choose foods that are a little bit more filling and will stick with me a little bit longer, which is a little bit more full than I like to be in the morning sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's like just knowing that it's kind of a continuum and it's individual. And the whole point of this is to make your body feel well and function well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, it's so important to remember that this isn't black and white. It isn't pass or fail. It's not, you have to stop when you're full. This whole thing is let's get in tune with our body and recognize how we're feeling while we're eating and make conscious decisions about what we're going to do. A lot of the times we're so disconnected from our bodies, we're just reacting to things instead of making conscious decisions about what we're doing. But when we're eating mindfully and we're paying attention and we're thinking about, you know, the meeting coming up or whatever, we're being present, we're paying attention, we're able to have that attunement with our bodies and make choices instead of following a set of diet rules or having this reactionary response to food and food situations as well.
So let's talk about some of those food situations. What are some of these kind of external forces that are getting in the way of us clearly hearing and responding to these hunger and fullness cues?
Yeah. So there are all kinds of like external cues to eating. And I'm not going to demonize them. So let me just say that like from the get-go. Okay. So an external cue to eating might be the clock. You might have a regularly scheduled lunch break or dinner time with your family or whatever those things are. And so that's an external cue to eat. And so that might not necessarily just come from listening to your body and asking if you're hungry to deciding to eat. But there's a place for those timed meals and you can prepare for them as an intuitive eater. What are some other external cues to eating? Maybe the occasion calls for it, a birthday party, or maybe you weren't expecting to have cake in that meeting, but it's somebody's birthday and it's there. What else? There's so many external cues to eating.
I usually get swept up in the travel and vacation food scenarios and find myself eating things because they're so awesome and so fun and so part of the experience, where I'm past that point of comfortable fullness, where at home I probably would have been like, all right, that's enough. But when in Rome, you eat the Italian food.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's important to remember. This isn't that you can't ever eat past fullness. But in that situation, I think you're probably making the choice. You're saying, I'm recognizing I'm getting full, but this is delicious and I'm enjoying this time with everyone and I'm going to choose to have a little bit more, and that's okay.
Yeah. The key there, you said it, it's a choice. I'm aware of what I'm doing. I'm not on autopilot. I'm completely in the moment and I'm choosing to eat.
Yeah. And I'm feeling like I really need to talk about this distinction for me, because in the past, that would maybe be the start of a binge cycle.
Okay, tell me about that.
Like choosing to eat past fullness. I know, like, especially when I was first like baby learning about intuitive eating, but I still had all this diet culture thoughts around it. Like, okay, I know I'm choosing to eat past fullness right now. I'm not hungry anymore and my stomach is starting to feel uncomfortably full or whatever, but this tastes good and I finally have freedom to eat these foods. And so I am going to, and then I would get kind of wrapped up in maybe starting to feel a little bit guilty that I'm eating past fullness because of that diet culture stuff. And, you know, in the past for me, that guilt would lead to more eating, to kind of punishing myself with eating. We've talked about those things before, but what's different when you are bringing in all the principles of intuitive eating to filling your fullness? I know I have permission to eat this food again whenever I want to. I know I can pick it back up in 5 minutes and eat it if I want. I know that there's no moral value attached to whether I stop eating right now or keep eating. It doesn't have the power to make me a good or bad person. There's all these beliefs and this knowing of the truth that I have now, that when I'm eating something delicious on vacation and maybe I want to keep eating it because I'm enjoying myself, I know that it's just simply that. That's it. It's just simply a decision about food. That's it. And I might eat a little bit past fullness, but then it usually stops there, right? I no longer find myself eating to the place of like absolute misery. I just find myself enjoying the food, enjoying the moment, and feeling that grace and that freedom really wash over me that this is okay. This is allowable.
Yeah, I think people, I felt a lot of anxiety about just the way fullness felt in my body in the beginning, because I was coming from such a place of restriction. I wasn't used to that feeling and it made me nervous. It wasn't something I was familiar with and it made me think something was off. And I really had to kind of just recognize that as a fear and surrender it and choose to trust God that, okay, this is just a body signal I'm not used to. You made it. You're giving it to me to help me. Like, you made my body. I can trust the signal and not be afraid of it and just kind of lean in to the whole trusting.
Yeah.
Trusting God for how my body works.
So what did that feel like for you?
It was really uncomfortable at first, but since I was trying to bring just so much awareness to it, it was kind of an opportunity kind of where I leaned in really hard and just kind of stepped up my continual praying, you know, just like a constant discussion with the Lord about what's going on, what I'm feeling, surrendering the fear in the moment again and again and again, and just kind of like walking through it with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that might be, if it's not a fear trigger, for everyone, I understand everybody feels fullness differently, but that was just my experience with it. And it's just such a good opportunity to really let this whole intuitive eating journey be a way that you rely on God in a deeper level, in a new way, with more things than you had been doing before.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember like what's the physical sensations of feeling fullness? Like, do you remember the first things that started coming to you?
I just feel most of my fullness in my stomach, and it just feels really like it's expanded way too much, and it just feels heavy, and it feels like, you know, you want to loosen your pants. Or we happen to sit down while eating, kind of like our kitchen table of sorts is an ottoman on the floor, so I'm sitting. So usually it made me want to stand up and walk around immediately, because I was just like, oh, my stomach, like this is too much food in here, and I'm not used to that feeling. And it was kind of just about me relearning what that actually felt like and what was comfortable and what was I just afraid of. So,
yeah. So
getting used to it and holding space for me to be weirded out by that sensation and knowing it's okay that I'm weirded out by this. I'll get used to it. And the more you do it and the more you pay attention, and it just gets easier with time. You're just relearning. You're just relearning what food feels like in your stomach if you haven't been eating.
Yeah. Do you find yourself recognizing a more comfortable fullness now regularly?
Yes, like, absolutely. And my favorite thing about this is it's not so driven by my stomach anymore and that physical sensation, because I've really dialed in to the taste.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm eating slowly enough and enjoying my food and paying attention, there is a bite that I taste and I'm like, this isn't good anymore. And that's my first signal that I'm getting there. And it's maybe I'll continue to eat a few more bites if I know I haven't really had that much, or I still just want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I will still, you know, that's not a, I must stop at this point kind of rigid rule. It's just like, hey, this is your first sign.
Mm-hmm.
And also on a mental level, I'm like no longer into it. I'm not interested anymore. I'm like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
So just, I feel like people don't think of the thoughts about food as, or disinterest in food as signals, but they are, at least for me, they are.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
And I think that's a good time to chime in with the fact that this is so highly individualized. My hunger and fullness cues are from my body that God made. And it's different because your body is different than my body. And everybody has their own version of this. That's why I can't tell you exactly what to expect for your body. And that's just something that you kind of have to get in there and experiment with. And I mean, what does it feel like for you? What is comfortable fullness, pleasant fullness feel like in your body?
Yeah, I think that you really hit the nail on the head that if I am paying attention to the food and eating it slowly, my first sign is like, I'm starting, like mentally, I'm feeling satisfied with this meal. Like this was delicious and I loved it. And I'm not feeling hunger anymore. Like I no longer, it's for me, like the first thing is like, okay, the hunger is gone. And I'm starting to feel satisfied with this food. And I often make the choice to stop there, because that's where my body feels the most comfortable. Like, okay, the hunger's gone. I feel pretty satisfied with the food, but my stomach's not uncomfortable. I like that feeling, because then I don't want to take a nap right afterwards. I don't feel like I have to unbutton my pants.
Yeah.
I feel like I can go play with my son on the floor and not feel like I'm going to explode. And that's really like, that was really a huge level of growth for me, because in the past, I wouldn't stop eating until I was uncomfortably full.
Yeah, me either. I thought that was what fullness was. Like you got to
hurt.
Yeah. Like, actually, no, there's a lot of nuance there.
Yeah. So it just takes time to fill it out. And so, you know, the best thing that you can do is start paying attention to this. So we talked about eating mindfully, slowing down, paying attention. One thing that's super helpful, we talked about this in the hunger episode, but is that hunger and fullness scale on a scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10. 0 being I am hangry, I'm ravenous, you know, and a 10 being like, this is Thanksgiving and I massively overdid it and I'm going to be in a turkey coma for the next 3 hours. So having that scale and paying attention to that is a great place to start, just to start recognizing, how am I feeling? How's my body feeling in regards to hunger and fullness?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you go into a meal at a 0 where you're ravenously hungry, just know that it's going to be a lot harder to feel your fullness.
Yeah, and just like I just said, right? Like I used to always eat to that point of really, really, really uncomfortable fullness, and that was usually a result of restricting to the point of being ravenous. That then I would just eat until I was extremely uncomfortable. So honoring my hunger is a huge part of feeling my fullness.
So if you wanted to encourage somebody to use the hunger and fullness scale, how would they actually do it? Is it just like check in with yourself before? Is there a way that you use it personally?
Yeah, so you can use it to like whatever extent that you want to use it. When I'm really working on this with clients, I'll say start at a meal. Like if you're, whatever it is, if you have some hunger signals and you're recognizing that you're hungry, great. Or if it's just time to eat, okay, whatever it is, start at one meal. And before you take a bite, gauge where you're at, where you think you are. And then check in once or twice while you're eating to see where you are. Check in afterwards. And then about every 30 minutes after the meal, check in and rate where you are. And I find that if you're full and then you check in every 30 minutes to see what that feels like, that seems to be how people really can start to get in tune, is noticing that fullness dwindle to the point of needing some more food again. How about you?
Yeah, I just want to chime in with, I didn't actually use the scale because, or the hunger and fullness scale, definitely didn't use the scale. Because just for me, coming off of kind of an extreme restriction and overly wrought meal plan, rating things felt like tracking to me, and it was just too triggering and I couldn't do it.
Yep.
So I didn't do it, but I can definitely see the value in kind of journaling around that, because it's just really, all it's doing is forcing you to be aware.
Yeah.
And think about it. And that's kind of the key to this whole thing, is awareness. And, for me, I just knew myself and I knew that I would potentially turn those ratings into diet rules and be like, I'm not at a 7. So
totally. Yeah. So,
That's a risk. Be aware. Know yourself, ladies. And if you think you might do that, be compassionate with yourself and just know that. But it's not meant to be a rule. It's just meant to be a gauge for checking in with yourself and kind of expressing in a quantifiable way what you're noticing about yourself.
Yeah. And so when we talk about like journaling through this, is something that I love to recommend to people, but I know that it can feel diety, right? But I love if we're journaling our feelings and thoughts and physical sensations around food and eating, because we learn a lot about that. But that if you know that you're going to make rules out of it, or if it's going to not be, it doesn't feel good, then hold off on that. But when you can do it as a neutral observer, making no judgments, not comparing today to yesterday, you know, but just like neutrally observing and asking questions and saying, I noticed that. That's interesting. I noticed that I'm a lot hungrier today than I was yesterday. Huh, I wonder what that's about. And that's fine. But if it's going to turn into the, why am I more hungry today than yesterday? Then we're getting into a problem, right?
Yeah, that was the most interesting part for me in the beginning, because I would just, out of routine and laziness, eat pretty much the same thing for breakfast every day. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a cool little curious science experiment-y vibe to it, to me just observing that and be like, oh man, today I only ate half of what I would normally eat and I feel okay. Like I'm not hungry. And then on other days I would eat all of it and then still be hungry when I was done. So just knowing that your own hunger in your own body and your own fullness in your own body is going to vary day to day based on a ton of different things. And like, that's okay. And it's supposed to be that way. And that's why you can't have a cookie cutter response to this. It's different every day. You're different every day. And that's why you have to pay attention and be tuned into it.
And that's why this is a perfect example of why a meal plan is ridiculous.
This episode of Intuitive Eating for Christian Women is brought to you by our online course, Ditch the Diet Masterclass. This is a biblical and scientific course to help you take your faith out of your diet and put it in Jesus. This masterclass is taught with video instruction from your co-host, Charlie Castle. It comes with a faith-centered workbook to help you put what you're learning into action. And I created some great guided meditation and prayers that help you really spend time with this material and let it move from your head to your heart. And in this masterclass, you're going to understand why dieting doesn't work scientifically and how it's harming you. You're going to biblically examine dieting and recognize how dieting conflicts with the gospel. You're going to embrace grace and cultivate self-compassion. And you're going to ditch dieting for good with a four-step process. You can get all of the details about the Ditch the Diet Masterclass over on our podcast website. That's intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com and click shop in the menu navigation at the top. Again, that's intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com and click on the shop tab at the top to find out all about our different online courses. But this particular Ditch the Diet Masterclass course is such a good starting point, and we really want you to check it out and let us know what you think. Now back to the episode.
Right? Like, this is a perfect example of why, like, having this thing that's calorie counted out or what macros or whatever the thing is, that this is exactly how much you eat every day, is absurd, because our bodies vary so much day to day by how much we need or, you know, what's going on, how hungry we are. So many factors play into it that you can't just follow this rigid meal plan. Now, being a dietitian, I have to throw out there that if you're recovering from an eating disorder and you are very disconnected from hunger and fullness, and you probably have some GI things going on, etc., and you're following a meal plan that tells you how much to eat, there is a space for that. That is necessary in the beginning as to get your hunger and fullness signals back. Following a meal plan is a big part of recovery, and intuitive eating is kind of what comes after that. So I just like to throw that out there, that if you are recovering from an eating disorder, you might be following a meal plan, and girl, we are for you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I just want to make a clear point here about how we're going to describe and just give them something to shoot for what we mean by comfortable fullness.
Okay.
How would you define that? Obviously, it's, you know, everybody's going to feel it differently in their body, but what do you think, the goal is here? I say it's to be comfortable and to feel good.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a piece of satisfaction there too. I know that's a whole other principle, but for me, they're like so directly related.
Me too.
Yeah. So to be comfortable, and it's comfortable physically, mentally, spiritually, like all those things with what you ate and to feel good with what you ate. So just some things that may be for you if you recognize fullness. And like you said earlier, Erin, it's so different for everyone. But in your stomach, you might feel the feeling of distension that I talked about a little bit. You might feel some heaviness or some bloating. In your head, you might have fewer thoughts about food or your desire to eat is diminished. You might notice a shift in mood. You feel pleasant or relaxed. This is huge for me.
Me too.
I get so irritated when I am hungry. You might feel some energy, or you might feel a little bit drowsy after eating.
I love the energy one because that one kind of gave me another point of reference besides just my bite. That was like the turning point bite where it doesn't really taste as good anymore and I'm not super into it. I have a point where energetically, like I feel better than when I sat down. Like I'm like, I feel good. Like this is like, I'm eating to the point of energy here. And like, this is where I am improved by the meal. My body feels great. Like I got the nourishment I wanted. I'm satisfied. And it's like, that's my peak. And I'm like, yeah. And I might continue a few more bites after that. But like, that's when I know I'm like, okay, we're here. Like this is comfortable fullness. This is feeling it and feeling good.
Yeah. And I love that when it's like, okay, like I am refueled, I'm nourished, I'm satisfied. And now I'm ready to go, whatever that is.
Yes. I'm ready to go out and like live the life God called me to live and stop thinking about food.
Exactly. It's just so much more simple than my relationship with food was in the past.
Yeah, it really is. I used to think so much about what I should be eating, when I should be eating, and how much. And it was just like this constant running thoughts about food. And like when you actually learn to listen to your body and you do it, you don't ever have to think about that anymore because your body's going to tell you. It's going to tell you when to eat. It's going to tell you what it wants to eat. It's going to tell you when to stop eating if you can learn to feel your fullness.
Yeah. Okay. So someone that's listening and they're like, okay, girls, but how do I learn to feel my fullness?
Okay.
What are some practical ways that we can try to do this?
Well, the intuitive eating authors really put some focus on creating an optimal eating environment. And this was a super challenge to me in the beginning, but I kind of get it now. And it's all about making a pleasant and relaxing and free from distraction eating experience. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, eating and having a meal, like it's a nice thing.
It's so nice.
It can be really nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be shoveling food in your face while you're driving in a rush to somewhere. Like you can actually sit down and like get a completely new pace and relationship with the eating experience. And I think, trying to figure out how you can either set boundaries or create a pleasant environment where you're eating, is going to be different for everybody, but if you know the goal is to have it be nice and relaxed and enjoyable, that's what you shoot for.
Yeah.
And so my good cooking or good eating experience begins actually when I'm cooking because we like to find music that kind of relates to whatever we're cooking. Mm-hmm. So it's like just this an atmosphere of pleasure around cooking and eating. Mm-hmm. And then it's usually a time where I get to sit down with my husband when we haven't seen each other all day and, you know, cook a meal together and enjoy it. And it's nice. And sometimes there's TV on and sometimes there's not. Mm-hmm. And if I'm eating by myself, and I want to really focus on the food, I will, you know, put the phone away or, you know, turn my laptop off and just sit there with it. But again, I was also tempted to make that into a rule of I cannot be distracted while eating. And that was good in the beginning, but I eventually got to the point where it was enjoyable and not distracting for me to have music on or to be listening to like an audiobook or something while I was eating. And it didn't detract from my sensory experience with the actual food.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely agree with you there. And I love that you point that out. a lot of the times I find this when working with clients and just even in my own experience, we get in our head like, okay, so every time I eat, it needs to be this quiet, really peaceful, slow, mindful eating experience. And that sounds great, but that's also a little bit overwhelming because I have a life and I, you know, there's all these things going on. So in the beginning, you want to try and tune out distractions as much as possible so you can pay attention because this is a new skill for you, right? So when you're working on a new skill, you need to be focused and paying attention to it. It's like learning to drive. You were focused, you're paying attention, but now when you drive the same way to work every day, you can probably drive there without even thinking, right? Like, so when we're learning how to be attuned and eat mindfully and pay attention, yeah, you want to make a lot of effort to not pay attention to your phone or close your laptop or whatever those things are to pay attention. But as the skill gets stronger, then you might be able to have some music on or have some other distractions. And I always say with people, you know, start slow. Maybe your goal is to have like one really enjoyable, mindful meal once a day, or maybe twice a week. Like something is better than nothing. So
yeah, I agree totally. That's really good advice. It's like, just try it and see how it feels. And I bet you'll notice a difference.
Yeah.
I do it more, but certainly life doesn't allow for that kind of idyllic dining experience every time you need to fuel yourself, but it's something to go for. And the closer you can get to it, the more you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I read a book years ago, back when I was still dieting, called Mind Body Nutrition by a guy named Mark David. And he had a really interesting way of kind of introducing mindful eating. And since I had never even heard of the idea before, this was just what really stuck out to me as a newbie. And I think it's really, really memorable. So I want to share it with the listeners in case this helps you to kind of get your head around what we're talking about. And he did it in terms of vitamins. So you want to have some vitamin A with your meal, which is vitamin A for awareness. And this is kind of the idea that we're going to make it a sensual experience using our senses, you know, look at your food, smell the food, explore the different tastes and textures in your mouth. Think about it. Like, is it crunchy? Does it make a little sound when you're putting your fork through it? Like, just kind of be there and notice those things with awareness. And I think I'm a natural foodie at heart. I can geek out over food taste and textures and flavor combinations and stuff now. And I think it's because I just went all in on vitamin A awareness at the beginning of this journey. And that's just part of it now. And it really helps me to be in the moment and enjoy the experience more, and also better tune in to my body because I'm using it so much. I'm using my eyes, I'm using my ears, and I'm really just dialed in to that. So anything you can do to cultivate vitamin A awareness is going to help you to feel your fullness.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So let me tell you the thing that I, learning mindful eating was so awesome. And then I had this experience when my faith was exploding and I was like starting to pray before meals, believe it or not. And oh my gosh, how my awareness of the food explodes when I express gratitude for that food to the Lord before.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Like, and I, my 3-year-old like just brings the world to light for me in so many ways, but like bowing our heads and praying for a meal. And he and I work in the garden together and all these things. So I've been like, while we're praying, thanking God for the farmer that grew the vegetables and thanking God for the cow that gave his life for the meat, like all of those things. And like, I'm like tearing up right now. Like it just makes this whole thing, like it's such a gift. And such a beautiful thing to have this food, even if you're eating a granola bar, Like, there are people that grew the stuff that's in that, and they processed it and they packaged it. Like, there's all this stuff that went into that, and there are, like, it just brings things so into perspective for me, and it allows me to really be present with that food, and that awareness changes everything.
Yeah. I think the gratitude just is the natural result once you bring the awareness there. You just will be able to notice what a gift things are and thank God for it.
Yeah.
I love that. I had lumped the praying before a meal into my vitamin S for slow.
Okay.
Because that for me was more about slowing down and pausing before I started to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I have 10 minutes to cram this sandwich in my face before I have to go do the next thing. It's like, no, I'm going to try and sit down and take some deep breaths and get slow and still and say my prayer of Thanksgiving before eating.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent that my schedule allows, eat it as slowly as possible so that I enjoy it, not so that I'm trying to, you know, trick my body into being fuller faster. The slow is more about respecting the experience and getting enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a couple other vitamin S's though, besides slow. Maybe it's just the three S's.
Okay.
The other two for me are savor and satisfaction. And I can't remember where it is in the intuitive eating book, but somebody said, if you don't love it, don't eat it. And if you love it, savor it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a mic drop moment for me. Yeah. It blew my mind. And I think about that with savoring every time I eat. And it's just, I think there was a little bit of science behind that, like with the whole kind of the sensory heightenedness that comes in your first bite of food. So that's why slowness is so important, because if you're rushing and you have that first bite and you didn't even savor it, that's the best bite.
Yeah.
You missed that moment and you didn't savor it. So those go together, obviously. And then I think savoring is slightly different than satisfaction, because to me, satisfaction is beyond just the physical. Mm-hmm. I'm physically satisfied. I've gotten enough nourishment. I'm content and I feel well. Satisfaction is kind of back to what you were saying about the gift. It's like, I am appreciative of this. This was a good experience. I feel satisfied. I am thanking God for this experience. And it's not just about it tasted good and it satisfied me. It's like, I was nourished by this whole experience. And
yes.
I'm grateful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I often eat at my desk while I am charting after seeing patients. And I used to feel some guilt about that, right? But I have come, or like, it's this whole thing of like, it's not a rule. You gotta, and I loved what you said, because for me, what I do is I pause, I take my breaths, I check in, I pray, I savor the first few bites. And then I will go to work while I'm continuing to eat, and I can pay attention to my food and I feel satisfied with that experience. So I just think it's important I just call it out there again for all of us previous dieters. Like, this isn't black and white. It doesn't look one certain way. You have to figure out what works well for you. Spend some time praying and asking the Holy Spirit to show you, what does it look like for me to honor my fullness?
Yeah, I totally agree. That's another way you could be praying continually about this and getting God involved. I love that. For the newbie though, let's give them a practical approach to this. I think we've kind of said it, just not in these words. This is another kind of memorable way to actually implement this. And I refer to it as the three bite technique.
Yeah.
And it's about just taking, if you don't have the opportunity to have a complete idyllic dining experience where you're mindful the whole time, the least you can manage is three bites. Your first bite, somewhere in the middle, and then that last bite where you're trying to see where you're at.
Yeah.
And that was a good starting place for me because, I mean, let's be real. Most meals are not that idyllic, mindful eating experience. Uh-huh. And that's okay. You can still bring awareness to the meal in just those three bites. And those are probably the most important ones for you to really check in and make sure you're present and see how you're doing in the middle. See if you're still enjoying it, how your fullness has changed. If you're using, you know, your hunger and fullness scales and journaling and those things mentally, you might be checking in and giving it a number to just kind of quantify it to make yourself really think about it. And then, you know, the last bite is what the intuitive eating authors call that last bite threshold, which is more or less the end point for eating, the point where you're aware that one more bite of food is going to push me past my comfortable spot. And you can still choose to go beyond that, but it's like, that's just so you know where it is.
Yeah. 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 Just the way to recognize that. Absolutely.
I really like the challenge questions for kind of the advanced. I didn't ask myself this for a while. I just let that fullness last bite threshold kind of evolve naturally. But now that I've been doing it for a little bit, after the last bite, I try and ask myself, how would it have felt if I had stopped a few bites sooner? Just as a question, not as a I should have.
Right.
Or next time I will. Just as like, I wonder what it would have felt like. Just to kind of navigate where that little bleeding edge is. Because it's going to be different every meal. And so that's a legitimate question to ask. That's not a judgment question. It's just a question.
Yep.
You're curious. And you don't even need to do anything with that information other than just keep it as data and keep it as knowing what it feels like for you today. And it's just another way to be aware and bring that awareness and mindfulness to the end point of the meal.
Yeah. Well, and being that neutral observer, like you're noticing that and saying, I wonder how I would have felt if I would have stopped one bite earlier. I'm thinking like, there's so many like different foods affect us in different ways, right? I'm thinking of my poor husband who will like eat because he's hungry. And he'll eat kind of fast or he'll eat because it's really enjoyable. And then like 15 minutes later, he'll go, oh, it expanded. and like he notices if he has like rice or pizza or stuff like that, that like it expands later and that's uncomfortable. So he's been like expressing that recently. And so we were talking about it the other day and I said, maybe notice like what the experience is like if you eat those foods and you stop a little bit sooner, because he's starting to like hate those foods, right? Like, oh, I don't want to eat that. It makes me feel so uncomfortable. Like, see what it feels like if you stop a little bit sooner. Then what does that feel like in your body? So this awareness and getting in tune, like we really learn a lot of different things about how food affects us and what it feels like to eat different things. And then you can take that with you going forward. Like, I can't tell you how many like parties or events or just going out to dinner with friends situations that ended up me feeling miserable while I was dieting because I would, as a result of restriction, like overindulge or eat way past fullness and be so uncomfortable. And now it's such a gift to enjoy the food, savor it, enjoy the company and the conversation, and stop before I know I'm going to get to that place of being uncomfortable. And then I just get to enjoy the rest of the evening. It's a gift, really.
Yes. You're gifting yourself the rest of the night from feeling awful. Well, for me, the other thing that has made me really want to dial into the could I have stopped a few bites sooner kind of curious question there is I now have a love affair with leftovers because I'm of the cook once, eat twice mentality because I don't want to stop in the middle of my day to prepare a meal at lunch. So usually my lunches are on the leftover from dinner the night before. So it's been really kind of a fun experiment for me to figure out. And I'm thinking of the hunger the next day and thinking of the fullness in the moment. And it's just, it's making me think about it so much more and in a different way with the eye for, okay, I know I'm going to enjoy this later. I don't need to eat two more bites past my comfortable point because I'm going to have it. I'm going to get to enjoy it again. I don't have to do it right now. I get to enjoy it now and I get to enjoy it later.
That is such a big, huge piece of like respecting your fullness and stopping when you're full is knowing that you can have that food later. You can have it whenever you want. It's that peace with food. If you have made peace with food, it is so much easier to honor your fullness to stop when you're full. If you haven't made peace with food, that's when you're going to find yourself still pushing over.
Yeah, I think that's where that feeling of you can't stop, like feeling out of control there, kind of even leading towards maybe a binge episode. I feel like a lot of times that is not really about fullness and is really more about the peace component because it's really hard to stop eating something if you don't think you're ever going to get it again.
Yep.
Like exactly. The special foods or the rare foods or the treat foods that you just got to get them while you can get them. It's like that is such a false construct of like diet culture thinking. Because with intuitive eating, it's not off limits and you can have it whenever. So have it when you want it, not just when it's in front of you. Anytime.
Yeah.
And I want to say briefly on the binge eating topic, I think that'll be something we can revisit later. Kind of tying into the other facet of that, which sometimes for people is using food as a coping mechanism as opposed to a response to biological hunger.
Yep. We will definitely dig into that because that is a big part of my story.
Yeah. So. I think we're probably going to have a whole binge eating kind of FAQ style of episode later on. But for now, we'll just say, you know, I don't believe it's possible to stop binging with restricting. That's part of the cycle. So you stop it by, you know, meeting the need that's driving that behavior. And that need might be emotional or it might be physical. So we're just going to put a pin in that and come back to it. And if you need prayer on that issue, reach out to us. We'd be happy to pray for you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are like the three things if someone's walking away, like what are we talking about here going forward? What does filling your fullness look like?
Okay. So to tie this whole thing up in a bow, I'm going to say, you know, filling your fullness for me is about three components. Beginning with trust, because as Christian women, this is all about trusting God and trusting the body he gave us and knowing that it's safe to listen to our bodies because God made them. And really just believing him and his word over the lies of diet culture, that is what's gotten in our brain and told us we can't trust in the first place. So that's kind of going back to, you know, principle one with rejecting the lies of diet culture and replacing them with the truth of God. So we're going to put this whole foundation of feeling our fullness on trust for sure. And then I'd say the second thing would be awareness, like we've talked about quite a bit today. Vitamin A, awareness, just learning how to pay attention and notice what's going on in our bodies. That is what enables us to trust and respond. We have to know what's going on so that we can trust it and respond. That's kind of key to the whole thing. And then I think the last component of it is just self-care. Remembering that nourishing ourselves and eating in a way that makes us feel good and feel satisfied is a form of self-care. And we don't need to be afraid of that feeling of fullness in our bodies. We don't need to be afraid of food. That's a diet culture lie again. And we're going to learn how to take care of ourselves and our bodies and feed ourselves so that we are nourished and we are capable vessels to go out in the world and answer God's call in our lives.
That self-care thing, it's, you know, in regards to eating and recognizing our fullness, it's about being nourished so that we are available to fulfill God's purpose, whatever that looks like for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So it's all about trusting God, trusting the body he gave us, listening, paying attention, honoring our needs. We're talking about eating in connection with our bodies instead of eating by a set of rules.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So exciting. All right. Can I wrap up in prayer?
Yes, please.
All right. Father God, we thank you for this space. We thank you for the bodies that you created us with, this ability to recognize hunger and fullness, all the nuances. We thank you for the gray. We thank you for creating us all differently with different signals and different things to recognize. And I pray that you will help every woman here just be wrapped up in your peace, God. If anyone's feeling anxiety at the thought of walking into this, of listening to their bodies, of trusting their fullness, I just pray that you take that anxiety away, God. You tell us to be anxious for nothing, to not worry about what we will eat or what we will wear, but that you will take care of us. And you have created these bodies perfectly just for us. And I pray that you will help us be attuned to them, help us recognize the nuances and just neutrally observe those things, God, so that we can make conscious decisions. I pray that we will walk in this principle of feeling our fullness, God, as a step to be available to serve and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for listening through to the end of our episode. I hope you will share this on your social media and let people know you've subscribed to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. Let us know. Tell us about what a difference it's making in your life. We would love to hear your thoughts and hear about what you're learning and trying out in your own life. We are so excited to be building this incredible community of Christian women who are living purposefully and following Jesus, not diets. You are a part of that tribe now. Thank you for being here. We can't wait to share the next episode with you.